Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Are you ready to dial up your desire for the supernatural?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you have to give God permission to speak into your heart. Amen. He won't override you. So let's just take a minute and do that. Father, we heard all the songs today. They were all about surrender, giving you everything, about the vision to reach our town, and we all say, yes, yes. But we have a part to play. So right now, we're going to very boldly open up our hearts and let you speak to us, to encourage us, to fire us up, so we can do what you called us to do. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you ahead of time, because nobody ever opens their heart and you say, I don't want to go there today. You go. I know you do, Lord, because I know you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, he never misses an opportunity to get right into those nooks and crannies in your heart if you let him. And he will not knock the door down if you don't let him. Sometimes I used to tell him, I wish you would. I wish you'd just force your will on me because I'm about to do stupid. And you know what? He let me do stupid. He will. He will do that. So the degree to which you desire something will determine your output of thought, energy, effort, and the finances you will use. If you think of desiring a vacation, you think about it, you plan it, you get the airline tickets, you get the reservations, you even get new clothes for it. You talk about it, you think about it, you dream about it. Why? Because you desire it. If you're single and you desire some young man or some young woman or an older man or an older woman, don't tell me you don't think about it. You think about it. You think about what you desire. So, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, you don't need to turn there yet. It just says, desire spiritual gifts. Do you desire spiritual gifts? Now, we all want to say, yes, I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. So you want to be a spectator. God doesn't call us to be spectators. There's every person here is called to desire spiritual gifts and to have them flow through them. That's you. That's me. More than what we're doing. So I was thinking about all the spiritual gifts, and of course you go back to 1 Corinthians. If you're familiar with the word at all, 1 Corinthians is Paul's letter that has the most information about spiritual gifts, where he has a nice list of them and a little bit of instruction, actually very little, considering what the gifts are. But I thought, you know, I need to know who he was writing to, what they were all about. Because sometimes I read Corinthians and it's got so many different little things in. And what the Lord's been putting on my heart for the past couple weeks is read it like a letter. Sit down and read it like you got a letter in the mail. You're not going to read just two verses and go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You're going to read the whole thing. You're going to read the whole letter. And he said, read the whole letter and it'll help you to get the picture. Now, the Corinthian church was started by Paul back in Acts 18. And again, there's very little information about it. He witnessed to Jews and to Gentiles, and they got saved. They got born again. They got filled with the Spirit. He spent a year and a half living with them. And then he left. So they're a relatively new church without the leader of their father, Paul, the one that brought them to the Lord. And this is probably about somewhere between 3 and 5 years after the church started that he is now writing this letter. And it's in answer to information that he's received. Now, I don't know if he got text messages, or if he got emails, or if somebody did FaceTime with him. But he got information from the people in the church saying, we got a problem with this and we got a problem with that. And so the first 11 chapters of 1 Corinthians, he's addressing all the issues that were brought to his attention. So I'm just going to run through them. I want you to know the people that he wrote to. They had issues. We got issues. Don't tell me you don't have issues. We all got issues. Some of us have more issues than others, but you won't get a group of people this large and not have issues. And it's okay. You don't need to be embarrassed. Before I read you the list that of the things that he addressed, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I just want to read you a few verses, starting with verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. This is a church with issues, people with stuff. They're dealing with their stuff, getting the world out of them. They were short in no gifts. The gifts of the Spirit flowed through this body. And see, we thought we had to be perfect to have the gifts and the supernatural flow through us. We don't have to be. Actually, you're not perfect. Your pastors are not perfect. There is no perfect person here. We're all in a different place in our journey, but nobody can say, hey, I've arrived. I think if you arrived, God would beam you out. So I just went through the first 11 chapters, and this is what I found for this church that's about 3 to 5 years old. Paul was their daddy, and he feels a responsibility toward this church because he started it. They first heard the gospel through him. Some of them were Jews and some were Gentiles. The majority were Gentiles. They came out of idol worship. In the city of Corinth, there was very large synagogues to different gods, to idols. They would party at these places. It was a multicultural city. And all these different gods they made sacrifices to. And often when they made the sacrifices, it would end up in a sexual party because they had temple prostitutes. They would cook the sacrifice and then the leftover foods, they'd just sit down and have a banquet and a party and then they would serve a little communion with it. They were a little mixed up. Worshiping another god, not knowing the truth about who our God is, affects everything when you have a whole city like this. Can you imagine? Their political system? Probably we could learn a little bit, maybe. But your beliefs affect government, business, festivals, marriages, families, everything. So they often lived in fear of what the gods would do to them if they didn't worship the way they were supposed to. So they sacrificed to them. So now they get saved. Well, you know as well as I do that the moment you get saved, everything doesn't get sucked out of you from your past. It's a process getting your mind renewed to what the truth is. And they were all in that process. And these are just some of the issues that he addressed. He first started with divisions among the people. Can you believe that? In a church. And you know what caused their divisions? Because they had favorite teachers and pastors. Well, I'm of Peter. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. You know, like, well, I'm of Pastor Mike. Well, I really like Pastor Jim. No, Pastor Schoen, he does it for me. Pastor Rose, well, I don't know so much. But they were picking sides. I like this one. I don't like that one. I'm not going to listen to that one. And then they dealt with pride. He addressed them on their pride, thinking too highly of yourself. I mean, we can all look in the mirror and say, Lord, is that me? You don't want to ask your neighbor? Go to the Lord. They forgot that revelation came from the Holy Spirit. They would get revelation, they'd get understanding, and they would pat themselves on the back and say, well, am I smart or what? They thought increase came from them and what they did. They had to be reminded that increase comes from God. They were judging those that were ministering to them. He called them the stewards because they were taking care of them. They were judging them. You did this wrong. Well, you did this wrong. Well, I know you did this. Who do you think you are? Kind of typical people, right? Lots of sexual immorality. They were suing each other in the courts. Believers taking another believer to court. They didn't know how to be married in a godly way. They didn't know how to be single in a godly way. He addressed those things for them. Should they eat food offered to idols? If you get saved out of idol worship, but your family doesn't, and now you go to the family reunion, and they just served all this food up to some idol, do you eat it? Don't you eat it? What do you do? How do you do it? How do you share with the family? What do you do? See, issues. He taught them about going to the Old Testament and seeing the examples and the lessons that were there, to not ignore that. He taught them to flee idolatry. He taught them about, how about this? Should women have their head covered? We're not going to talk about that today. We can someday, but not today. He talked about what they did with the Lord's Supper. It's supposed to be in remembrance of Jesus, but it would be like on our food fellowship day where we have all the tables of food, and on the end would be the bread and the wine, and you would just, that'd be part of your meal, and you just party for the rest of the time. They didn't understand, or if they did, they were just disobedient. And every one of these issues needed to be corrected. And while they were needing to be corrected, they fell short in no gift. Huh. It just kind of makes your head go tilt, doesn't it? So then we get to chapter 12, which talks about the gifts. But before that, I want to just mention chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. You probably have plaques on your wall at home about love. Love never fails. Before we flow in the gifts, Paul's saying, the best way, you need to love. You need to love. Teresa is a good example. Her witnessing, we heard a number of the examples at the women's yesterday. It's amazing. But it's not that she's flowing in a gift. She's flowing in love, and the gift is the result. She loves people. No matter where they're at, she loves them. You and I got to answer that for ourselves. Do we? Or do we only love them when they look like us and talk like us and act like us? God loves us. Amazing, isn't it? With our issues. When I looked at this list of 1 Corinthians and all the things he had to deal with, and I'm thinking, as a pastor, as a leader, like, ay, 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 ay. Lord, thank you for sending us to Ypsilanti and not Corinth. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Amen. That would have been over the top. So, we're going to talk a little bit about the gifts, but the Lord's given me a little bit different way to share it. 1 Corinthians 12, after he's gone through all the instructions for their issues, he says, now concerning spiritual, spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. He's not really speaking too respectfully of the idols, is he? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, There's different kinds of gifts, but it's all one Spirit. This was God's plan all the way from the beginning. Back in Genesis, when he said, I'm going to fix this issue through the seed of the woman, which we know is Jesus. And Jesus came. You and I believed. We got saved. We got born again. We got his... When we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. It's the Spirit inside of us. We have the Spirit inside of us. And then we can receive the baptism, the immersion, getting ourselves immersed in the Holy Spirit, getting filled up so full. But it is two separate things. So he's talking about the gifts that flow out of a full Spirit that is full of love, that is full of the Holy Spirit to overflowing is what he's talking about here. So there's, in this list, and we've studied lists, and you can go to classes, you can read books, you can find out this is how you do this gift, this is how you flow in this gift. But you know, it's not to be a manual that says if I do these 10 steps, then this will happen. Then, you know, I like this gift, but oh boy, I don't want to do that one. You know, I wouldn't mind walking on water, but do I have to touch somebody with leprosy? You know, I just don't know. Lord, can I just pick and choose? No, it clearly says that the Spirit distributes them as he wills. But we're to desire all of them. When I heard all of those examples from Teresa yesterday and then this morning, I hadn't heard this one. Now that took some serious boldness. She went in with love. And the Spirit led her as to what to do, what to say, how to say it, to take his hand and pray for him. That was the Holy Spirit doing. That was the Spirit just working through her. She's flowing in the supernatural. We call it supernatural because you know what we're doing, most of us? We're sitting here waiting. We're natural. Hit me with your super, Lord. If I could feel some wind. Goosebumps. Can you make the hair on the back of my neck stand up so I know for sure? I mean, I know people, and if this is you, I don't know anybody here like this. You'll say something, and they'll go, oh, that was God. The hair on my arms just stood up. Oh. And I want to go, oh, for Pete's sake. And you know, that sometimes does happen. But that's not the measuring stick. That's not the measuring stick. So let's look at these gifts. There's 9 gifts listed here in the first part of 1 Corinthians 12. There's faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. There's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Now, some of us would say, Please don't do the tongues one in the group, Lord, because, you know, I don't think my tongue sounds as good as theirs, you know, and I don't want to do this in front of anybody because I'd be embarrassed. Don't tell me you didn't think like that. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. So let's see. Are these gifts for me? For you? Or are they for somebody else? They're for the body. They're for you to operate. Let the Holy Spirit operate through you to bless the body. It says in chapter 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's to bless this body, to bless the body of Christ that's out there. Maybe it's at your home. Maybe it's at a Bible study. It's to bless others. It's not just so, wow, she's got some supernatural knowledge and wisdom cooking there. She must be something else. No, she ain't something else. It's the Holy Spirit wants to speak. He can make you look so good. He'll make you look smarter than you are. He'll give you words of wisdom and words of knowledge that surpass anything you've learned. And somebody will say, wow, where'd you get that? I got it from the Lord. Really? Well, you must be something special. No, he's something special. He just makes me look good. So now, we'll start with the gift of faith. what is the gift of faith? It tells us in a couple places in Paul's other writings, one of them I think is Romans 12, that all have been given the gift of faith, or to everyone has faith. You have to have faith to get saved. So what's the gift of faith? Was that a gift? Faith is that supernatural thing that comes over you that you know you can do the impossible. Faith is what happened when Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Faith is what happened when they took the loaves and the fishes and broke up to feed 5,000. That wasn't a natural faith. That was God going, what? But they had to act on it. It's super. I think it would help us to not think of it as supernatural. It's natural for the Spirit-filled believer. It's natural for a believer that wants to do all God wants them to do. It's natural once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, to do these things. It's natural. Gifts, working of miracles, gifts of healings. Don't we all want to see somebody pulled out of a wheelchair? A lame person comes in hobbling and leaves walking straight. Cancers falling off of a body. Blind eyes open. Don't we all want to see those things? He wants you to do them. We would all just be sitting here and going, yeah, God, woo! And God says, no, no, no. You take part. You know, the walls of Jericho would not have fallen down in a supernatural way if they hadn't taken part. The Red Sea would not have opened if Moses hadn't taken part. The miracles don't happen. God's not up there pulling strings, just saying, I think I'll do a little miracle here. Oh yeah, I haven't used this one in a while. I'll just give them a douse of that. No, they're through us. We are to be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. He did miracles, signs and wonders in a natural sort of a way. He didn't stand up on the mountain after he preached all those sermons and toot his horn and say, watch this, folks. I'm going to feed you all with this little fish and this little loaf here. Look at me. No, a need was presented. He had compassion. He had that love in his heart. And he just did what was spiritually natural to him. That's what he wants us to do. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, I got the right group. Did you all get the prayer list last week that Pastor Mike passed out? Okay. If you didn't, let somebody else know. And we'll print you some more. Number 3 on his list was for our people to diligently seek after and flow to an even greater degree in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and freely enter into the presence of God. We have to desire it. We have to desire it. We don't sit around waiting. We don't say, God, we need a move. God's not stuck. He's waiting for us. He said, I need you to believe. I need you to desire. I need you to pray. I need you to call it in. Amen. He needs us to do our part. If you look in Acts, when you read through Acts, that's where you can get, it's almost like hands-on teaching of how the gifts work. Because there isn't a lot of teaching about it, but you watch how they did it. It was natural to them. Peter and John in the temple, they run up to this guy who's been lame since birth, and he wants money. Now, why didn't Peter say, you know, the last time I needed money, Jesus sent me fishing. Why don't you just go fish? There was going to be money in the guy's mouth, in the fish's mouth. No, they said, what I have. Do you know what you have? They said, such as I have, I'm going to give to you. Now, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Do you know that you know that you know what you have? You need to know that you know that you know, without a doubt, what you have inside of you. Some days I can honestly tell you I do, and some days I can honestly tell you I have to work it up because I have to go, wait a minute, the word is true, how I feel today, I don't feel a thing. If I had to go by feelings, really, I don't even know that I would know I was saved every day. Do I feel? What does saved feel like? We go by the word, not our feelings. By the word. So gifts of healing is not like you get a bad report from the doctor and you go home and you get your Bible and you say, Lord, I believe your report instead of what the doctor says. And you stand on it. And you stand firm on it. And you pray. And you speak to your body. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You use your tongue and create life for your body. That's not a gift of healing. The gift of healings would be like those instant. The cancers fall off. The cripple is not crippled anymore. Those kind of miracles. And they often go together. The miracles, the healings, the faith. And if we learn too much, if we get too much up here in our brain and think, well, let's see, let's get this gift. I don't think I operate in this one. They can all work together. You might even need a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge at the same time because you're speaking to the person. They all go together. Don't try to divide them up and say, which one do I want? Lord, which one do I have? You've got the Spirit that has all the gifts in you. And when do you need them? When you need them. When you're ministering, that's when you need them. The prayer ministers operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I think first, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just in case you're not. This will be a paid political announcement by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Teresa. Yes. See, you want the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you want the Holy Spirit? The fullness of Him. Do you know why you want it? Because God said, this is what I have for you. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, and He's going to send you the Holy Spirit. One place says that the Father sends it. Another place says Jesus sends it. They're in agreement that you have the Holy Spirit. And I shared this morning in my class, but you might think, I'm okay without it. Well, for Pete's sake, you know, I've been without it for a long time. I've been a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't need this. I can tell you miracles that have happened in my life, how God answers my prayer. I don't need this. I don't need this. Let me ask you to think about something, honestly. Please don't close that door in your heart if that's you. You say you're doing great without it because God's been faithful. Praise God. He is faithful. But if you've not been praying in tongues, if you've not been using that gift that God gives to everybody who's baptized in the Holy Spirit as a manifestation, how do you know what you're missing? See, you don't know. You can say, my life's been good. But how do you know what you're missing? There is no way for you to know. Because you can't go back and get a day back. So maybe you say, well, you know, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, a long time ago, and I spoke in tongues a little bit, but I don't do it anymore. Stir it up. Do it. You don't know what you're missing. There's so many benefits. Just to teach you and to keep you in the love of God, according to Jude. The book of Jude says that. Do you not need that? Yes, we all do. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. It opens up your ears. If you knew somebody that got all their prayers answered, would you not go to them for prayer? Of course you would. The Holy Spirit prays through you. Do you not need that? Do you not need to be built up and edified? You say, well, I'm okay. I haven't done it. You don't know how okay you're not. You don't know. And you never will. This is just to entice you, to get you to think. You know, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I don't hardly ever use it. Why? Why? You got to ask you that. God gave it to you. Can you imagine getting a wonderful gift for your kids? Maybe a bike, and you roll it into their house, and it got bows on it, and bells, and streamers, and whistles, and whatever kids like on a bike these days. And, oh, that's a nice bike, Mom. Dad, thanks. And they turn around, and they're going to go play their computer games. And they walk around, and they see it every once in a while, and go, yeah, that's a nice bike. Pretty soon, the tires are flat, the air's gone out of them. How would you feel? You got a special gift for your kids, and they don't open it and use it. That's what the Holy Spirit is for you and me. That's a special gift. And I think sometimes we've spoken the words so long, they're so familiar to us, they lose their meaning. I don't know if you ever have that, but as I was going over this message this week, and I forget what scripture I was looking up, and I said, oh, let's see, what does God say about this? And it was like, God. Oh my gosh. He's asked me to speak his word. Wow. Wow. How can I not tell the truth? How can I not tell you the truth? You need all he has for you. You want all he has for you. Maybe you've shut your wants down. Wake them up. You want it all. Oh my goodness, this is the creator of the universe says, I want to change the world through you. Yowza. Yowza. Wow. Yeah. The holy God. Nothing in him. It's anything but just, perfect, righteous, and holy. And he says, this is for you, House on the Rock Church. I'm going to bring these people into town, and I want you to help minister. I want you to learn more, to flow in this. This is what I want you to do. I got gifts for you. I got gifts. Will you open the gift and use it? Creator of the universe. Whew. Wow. So now, how do we get to that place? I'm not even going to go through the rest of the list and go over them one by one what they are right now. Because what I was talking to the Lord about it, I said, Lord, how do we go from getting book learning knowledge of what they are into experiencing what they are? And he said, like Jesus. You know, and I always thought, well, I know Jesus. He's big stuff. But he was God. Yes, he was God. But everything that made him God, he set aside and became a man like you and me. Everything he did as a spirit-filled man. Everything. How did he accomplish all that he accomplished? He had a relationship with his daddy. He loved his daddy. He'd get up early and climb the mountain so he could be alone to be with his dad. He'd stay up late to be with his dad. And he said in John, see, I wrote the verse, John 8, verse 28 and 29. Now, that's a good one. Let's read that. They're all good. Let's read it. When you lift up the Son of Man, you see, he was crucified as a man. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you're going to know that I am he and that I do nothing, nothing of myself. But as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. So he spoke what his dad told him. He did what his dad told him. And they were supernatural. He had that relationship. That's how he wants us to be. Have that relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Have that relationship so passionate in your heart that when the Lord says, go witness to a Muslim, you say, okay, I'll do that. That's what he wants. When we come in to worship, and you can sense the presence of the Lord, and I know some people can't. They've said, I don't sense this. What you do at home is what comes in with you. You've got that close relationship with Jesus, with the Father at home. You get into his presence. You don't have to have the worship team behind you. You can turn on all kinds of praise music. You can get into his presence. Go after it. So then we let's say we all do that at home, and we get there and we love his presence. So when we come in together and we are of one heart and of one mind, and we know how to quickly put aside the junk and the stuff you've been thinking about, focus on him. The presence of God fills this place. But it is partly comes in with us. We have to understand that. Kind of makes you want to just run out and go home and worship, doesn't it? Praise God. We have been predestined by God to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's in Romans chapter 8. The image of Jesus, the image, the likeness. What was he like? Well, he was like a man who spent time with his dad. He was like a man who loved people. He was like a man who got moved with compassion, and when he saw a need, he met it. The only time he didn't was when people didn't believe. And non-belief is not like saying, I've never heard that. It's like, no, Jesus, I do not believe you. That's non-belief. That's unbelief. It is not ignorance. It is a choice to believe or not to believe. It's a choice. Those people, he could not do mighty miracles, except he healed a few sick folks. Well, shoot, that sounds like a mighty miracle to me. But he had more in his heart than just healing a few sick folks. He wanted to do mighty, powerful things in their midst. That's what he wants to do for us. But we have to be a partner. We have to partner with him. The lame man would never have gotten up in that temple if Peter and and John hadn't done what they were supposed to do. Wouldn't have happened. Paul's preaching one night. It's in Acts somewhere. You'll find it. And he was preaching so good, he preached himself happy. And this guy is sitting up on the third floor and fell asleep in the window and fell out of the window dead. Paul went and laid on him. He's not dead. He was so full up of the Spirit, he knew what to do. See, those kind of miracles, they won't happen without us. That's why God gave us his Spirit. It wasn't, well, I'm going to give you this, and you'll get 6 goosebumps here. Hair on your knuckles, stand up, and you'll just be good to go. No, they're so we can do the work that Jesus called us to do. So we can love people like he did. So we can go without fear, share with a Muslim. Yeah. Perfect love casts out fear. As we get filled up with his love, fear goes. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. That's what they're for. Do you want them? Do you need to be fired up? If you need to be fired up, stand up. Let's just show the Lord by our standing up. I got some fire, Lord, but I need some more fire. I need more fire. I'm standing. I need more fire. You know, talking about it's one thing in a group of Christians. Going out to McDonald's, Myers, Kroger's, wherever you're at, strangers, that's a different thing. That's why when you decide, this is what I want, be serious, because God's serious. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus,
hallelujah.
Lord, fire everybody up that is standing. Lord, your part, their part is to receive. I know you have poured out your Spirit on us. You have poured your Spirit out on all flesh. You've poured it out on us. We've been filled with your Spirit. We've had hands laid on us. We've spoken in tongues a little bit. Lord, help us to be receivers. Receivers. I receive, Father, for me, I receive. I receive your Holy Spirit. Tell them what you're receiving. Father, I receive. I receive passion. I receive love. I receive words of wisdom and words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. I receive faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. I receive that, Lord, to flow in it, to help reach those that don't even know about you. I receive that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. At the roof on this building is going to show fire marks.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That our families, our homes are going to be different. The places we work are going to be different in the name of Jesus. We're going to go in with a new passion, a new love for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Lord, I know you take this seriously. Help each one of us to take it seriously, not just this moment, but as we leave here, tonight, tomorrow, all week long. Holy Spirit, give each one of us a swift kick when we need it to be reminded, wait a minute, I'm in you. Now live like it. Thank you that our hands will lay hands on people. We will touch people. And they will be healed. Our mouths and our hands will speak to people what they need to hear from God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Could I have the prayer ministers come up, please? Now, if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you certainly don't want to leave here today without it, and you don't have to be. If you need somebody to agree with you for anything, come up and share it with the prayer ministers, and they will agree with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, you're so good to us. You're so good, and you're so big, and you're so powerful. I thank you that you share it all and give it all to us. Thank you. Oh, my. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. In your name. In your name. Amen. Now go and be a blessing. In Jesus' name. We'll see you next week.